story. This one takes us to New York and the extraordinary affair between composer Kay Swift and George Gershwin.
On BBC iPlayer.
Is this Christmas?
Yes, we're doing a special Christmas everywhere all at once.
Absolutely buzzing I am.
Oh, that's champion.
We've got Christmas sorted.
I'd love to show you, Stace, but I've been sworn to secrecy.
Fair enough.
Oh, do you have to be mysterious all the time?
Oh, a Wallace onesie.
Brand new Gavin and Stacey, Doctor Who, Wallace and Gromit, Vengeance Most Foul, and lots more.
Cheers, me old pal.
Ham and cheese toasty and a pumpkin latte.
Tidy. Christmas on BBC iPlayer.
And now, our drama on three, Gershwin and Miss Swift, written by Andrew McColdon and starring Lydia Leonard, Jamie Parker, Jacob Fortune Lloyd, Joseph May and Tara Ward. Recorded live at Alexandra Palace with music performed by the BBC Concert Orchestra featuring singer Lucy Ann Daniels and pianist Ben Dawson. The conductor is Keith Lockhart.
Hello everyone and welcome to the Alexandra Palace Theatre here in London. I'm Andrew McColdon, the writer of Gershwin and Miss Swift. Talented artists called Swift have a habit of making waves in the music world. Before Taylor, another unique musician and a distant relative, in fact, became the first woman to compose a hit Broadway show. She takes center stage in our drama tonight. Her name is Kay Swift. And I'm thrilled that Kay's granddaughter, Catherine, and her family are here with us this evening. Based on real events and brought to life by our wonderful cast, our story ignites when Kay meets George Gershwin, a star burning bright and fast. Sparks fly, but Kay is happily married with children, and George is only truly faithful to his creative talent. As a psychoanalyst adds fuel to the fire, Kay chooses to forge her own future in love and music, risking everything along the way. Throughout our drama, I've used Kay and George's compositions, performed for us live by the BBC Concert Orchestra with singer Lucy Ann Daniels, to capture their musical achievements, as well as the struggles and passions of these two remarkable people whose lives are forever bound together, Gershwin and Miss Swift.
Long leopard skin coat, Cuban heels, all slowing me down, losing me time as I try to climb quick as I can up the endless stairs and stairs. And there's a feeling of dread rising and music in my head, churning, chasing, squalling around me. I reach a door. My door. A telephone. My telephone ringing, and I know I must answer it. I know I have to, and I reach out, and then I woke up with such a start, and my heart pounding, gasping, just awful.
And whom do you hope is telephoning you? Your husband or your lover?
I don't know.
In the dream?
Nightmare.
It's the question...
Recurring nightmare.
The question that brought you here months back. Catherine.
I don't know.
Your husband or your lover?
You're the doctor. You tell me. My sister-in-law recommended you to me.
Very wisely. I trained her.
Yes, but she failed to mention the ongoing conjuring trick you're engaged in here.
You can't answer my question.
Most of my friends are in analysis.
Or won't answer.
They're all handing over money for 1933's most fashionable new cure-all. And it's your name. It's Dr. Gregory Zilborg, who's lauded all over town. But with such sleight of hand, it's the patient who has to do all the work.
And what is your conjuring trick today, Catherine?
Oh, ever since these nightmares
started... What are you concealing?
Ever since I've been coming here, all I do know is that I can't hold my life. Lives. I mean, you're supposed to be helping me with my pain. Who cares who's on the damn dream phone? I can't hold myself together anymore.
Oh, please don't start with the eye pissing. On the phone, your husband or your lover?
I can't say.
Or is it your conscience calling?
No, I won't choose.
Then we must continue these conversations. And you must tell me about the time before...
Before?
Before things changed. Before you had to choose between these different lives.
Before he arrived into... at our party?
This would be around...
1925.
8 years ago.
Yes.
Joie de vivre, fun. Oh, they were your forte then.
Well, I intend for them to remain so, Doctor. I'm lying on your couch, not in my coffin.
And before he arrived, before this party, how did you feel about your life?
Being a wife?
Being a wife, being a mother.
How I still feel. I love my husband, my family.
But at that moment, you were content to live just one life.
Well, one life, but a full life. I was at Jimmy's side at work events, society balls, fundraisers. I played the piano at benefits, parties. I supervised the cook, household staff, the nanny. You know, I'd had all three of my daughters by then.
And you felt content?
Content? No. Certainly not. I felt overjoyed.
Catherine, we've hardly seen you yet this evening.
Well, there's another tray of Manhattans coming round. Robert, go talk to Marty, will you? He's three sheets to the W and boring poor Lillian silly.
I want to know if you've heard La Boheme at the Met.
Oh, yes, last week.
And?
Catherine, how do you do it? I mean, you only gave birth 6 months ago.
Oh, hell, I had a baby, Edgar, not a battleship.
And the Pacini?
Modified rapture, I'd say. Oh, darling, I just stopped by the nursery to peek at the girls before coming down, sleeping like angels.
Wonderful.
Jimmy, you tell me, how does she do it? I mean, your wife puts together a better guest list than Scott Fitzgerald.
Oh, she looks nicer in a dress, too.
Oh, Freddie Astaire's just arrived.
Well, then, let's roll back the rugs.
My beautiful wife.
And kick the dancing up a notch.
She's what we call, in banking, a great and very rewarding asset. And it helps that Catherine also believes in PH, as she says.
PH?
Pure happiness. And what could be happier than this?
And happier than you?
The party whirled on into the night, well-oiled and feverish, until suddenly, as if an electric current had flashed through the room, everything, everyone, stopped. As I moved through the crowd, all buzzing around him, I could see his dark black hair, a long neck, his head arching over his hands, and I saw...
What? What did you see?
An expression on his face. Childlike wonder at what he was doing and where it was coming from.
Stop playing.
Oh, but how could I have sat upon the piano before being introduced to our hostess, the famous Mrs. Catherine Warburg?
Here she is.
The lady who, I hear, made sweet music with Albert Einstein, no less.
Oh, now, Mr. Gershwin, I was his accompanist on the piano once.
And how was the professor's Mozart?
Better than my theory of relativity. May I introduce my husband, James?
You beware, Mr. Gershwin. That piano of ours is quite the flirt.
Yes, dear Noel Coward had his derriere right there just a week ago.
Well, I'm sure to be lowering the tone, then.
From Noel? Maybe just a semitone.
I'm a boy from the Lower East Side. Let's call it a full octave.
Jimmy!
Oh, excuse me one moment. I've left a friendly quarrel and a whiskey half-finished over there.
And where does it all come from, Mr. Gershwin? These ideas, these melodies, this joy.
Why, I feel things inside and then I work them out, turn them into music.
Is that so?
It is so. And can you guess what I'm feeling right now?
No. But I hope you're going to show me.
I've got to go to Europe now.
And left the party. It felt to me as if he took the whole world with him.
And so?
We met at another party, and then a third. Each time he had a different girl on his arm.
How did that make you feel?
I hardly noticed. He mainly had eyes for the piano. And so did I once he was playing it. Then I saw his name on a poster up outside a concert hall one day. Found myself walking into the lobby to buy a ticket. Except I didn't. I could hear the afternoon rehearsal going on, so I just slipped in the back.
You like that tempo? I like it. That's the tempo I'm looking for.
I like it, too. Ladies and gentlemen of the orchestra, I think it's time for a short break. Thank you.
Is that Mrs. Catherine Warburg out there in the dark taking notes?
I was trying
to... Come on up here.
I was trying to be incognito.
You're not an incognito type of girl.
Well, I didn't want to disturb.
But in that hat, that dress, you're a very welcome disturbance. Say, what do you think about... This is something my brother Ira and I are working on, and, do you think it needs...
A rest on the first beat? Yes.
Someone to watch over me. What?
Sorry. No, sorry. It's just nice to know there's something you don't excel at.
Well, luckily for me, you can be a terrible singer, and yet...
And yet?
And yet a great composer.
Yeah, c'est vrai. Make some room on the bench.
No. Oh, so you play Debussy.
The people, they say to me, Monsieur...
True hero.
Monsieur Debussy, they say you compose like an angel, but you sing like a dog. Well, you howl sublimely.
You play divinely. You toured with a classical trio, yes?
Before I was married, yes, that's right. Beethoven, Schumann, Brahms. In fact, I've a confession. I've always been quite a snob about musical comedy, Broadway.
And we'll play Brahms. You know the waltzes, Opus 39?
The duet?
For four hands. Yes. Ah, thwarted. The players return, back from their break.
Oh, and I've stopped you having yours.
If I'd had a break, I would have missed Debussy and Brahms. And you.
So you made a deliberate choice.
No. I didn't know. I didn't think of it that way.
I doubt that.
That's what you're asking me.
In previous sessions, you've spoken about choosing between two lives. I'm asking if this is when those two lives began.
So you're suggesting that when I walked into a concert hall, I knew I was putting my family, my marriage, in danger?
I didn't suggest that. You just did.
No, I was following an instinct.
Yeah, but when you sat down next to him, you knew it was wrong. Dangerous.
I knew...
This instinct of yours.
I felt something delicate was hanging in the balance, perhaps.
Why?
Because...
Why?
Because I was alive. Because his music arrived in my life. And yes, that was deliberate. I wanted to hear. I wanted to be around his music.
A siren song.
I wanted to watch him, talk with him. That wasn't wrong. It didn't feel dangerous. Not then. Yes?
Catherine, it's George. Now, do you promise not to tell Irving Berlin you're all hoity-toity about Broadway?
I've never met Irving Berlin.
Which is why you need to make a good first impression tonight.
Tonight?
Yes, you're coming to the opening of his new show as my guest.
Oh. Jimmy and I would normally go...
To musical comedy together.
Yes.
But you don't go to musical comedies.
No.
Now, don't worry, we'll be going in the stage door, away from the press and hoopla. Very private. In fact, why not wear your incognito dress and hat? Irving's so looking forward to seeing you. As am I.
Tonight? It became a game. We started sneaking into quite a few Broadway shows that way. And at the end, during the applause, we'd lope out big dancing strides and step together, fast as we could before we were spotted.
This is one of our quickest exits yet.
People want to know how to get a wiggle on?
Yeah, they want to see us wiggling. Get wiggling.
Oh, my God.
I got it.
George, is this the right way? Oh, what a wonderful show.
Fancy hearing some more music?
Oh, Jimmy's back from Washington tonight. I mean...
Taxi!
Well,
Well?
What kind of music?
Mine! Well, no! No encores! Encores are for people who are planning to stop playing, and I have no intention of doing that tonight!
George?
I sure am.
I thought so. I recognize the look in your eyes.
I'm Catherine.
Rose, can I borrow you?
That's my cue, but good luck to you, Catherine.
Fascinating rhythm, you got me on the go. Fascinating rhythm, I'm all a quiver. What a mess you're making, the neighbors want to know why I'm always shaking just like a flipper. Each morning I get up with the sun to find at night no work has been done. I know that once it didn't matter, but now you're doing wrong when you start to patter. Happy. Won't you take the day off? Decide to run along somewhere far away off and make it snappy.
Is it an obsession, music?
A passion.
One that usurps everything else.
Well, I don't remember a time without it. My father started taking me to hear the opera when I was 4 years old. Wagner.
Your father, the music critic.
Well, badly paid, but a labor of love. And every week I flew with Valkyries. I killed giants. I felt a door opening to an enchanted land.
This is such a swell surprise.
Well, you took me to your favorite places. This is mine. The Opera House. These are the seats my father and I always used to sit in.
When I was a child, I wanted to play stickball on the streets. You wanted to sing Brunhilde.
I wanted to be Brunhilde.
Door opening to an enchanted land.
My father didn't have money, but he did have connections in the music world. I studied with the very best piano teachers in Manhattan, and then learned composition. Performed, wrote music, and then... Then another life came along.
A better life.
Another life. With Jimmy, yes.
And were you committed to this new life?
I was in love. There was no one else for me, if that's what you mean.
Until there was.
Through those years, there was no one.
Until?
Until George and his music, and suddenly he was taking me to shows on Broadway, you know, to jazz clubs on streets I'd never even heard of, to Harlem, to drop in on Fats or Duke. We could be dancing at the Stork Club at 3 a.m. or playing two pianos together in the afternoon, just talking. When I was with George...
Yes, what did you feel?
Another door. A different door. Opening.
Sowee, I mean, these pages, the notation, it's as if you read my mind.
No, it's as if I've spent the last week with you listening and writing down what you were playing.
Well, it's just perfect.
Of course. I didn't spend my time at the Institute of Musical Art learning needlework.
You're a marvel, Kay.
You're a flatterer, G, but I like it.
It's not flattery.
Where you call me Kay?
You might be Catherine, but I've always thought of you as just Kay. It's very inspiring for a composer, too.
Oh, really?
Sure. You don't know any music written in K major.
I think I missed that class.
Oh, it's an absolutely, positively marvelous key signature. The sound of joy, talent, beauty. That's how to live your life. In the key of K. Let's drink to that.
And to your finished piece.
What's that you're playing?
Oh, just something or other I've been noodling about with.
It doesn't sound...
Classical? I've been writing classical pieces for years. I thought, perhaps... A change.
Just as I hoped or implored. The noodling is...
A little more theatrical, yes.
You know, you've got melody running...
Noodling?
Right through you.
Well, I'm working on a few songs, that's all. Now that I've been seduced by the temptations of...
Broadway. The theater. Kay, you're made for it.
It does seem to be quite the fash with certain people. To happy temptations.
Happy temptations. And whatever that tune was, don't play it again. I just might steal it.
Yes. Remember, we have a magpie from the Lower East Side at our piano.
Dearest, when did you get home?
Evening, James.
Hey, George, what have I said? It's James to those who owe me money. To my friends, it's Jimmy.
Well, I better fly. I got ringside seats for the fight at Madison Square Gardens.
Babe Herman? Mm-hmm.
And Kid Kaplan. Can't beat a good rivalry.
No. May the best man win.
Fortunes have been made and lost while I've been trying to put this necklace on you.
It has a tricky clasp. It's fiddly.
And my hands are too big for this work. Apparently, you know, our little adventurer, Andrea, climbed into the dumb waiter the other day.
No.
Yeah. Traveled all the way down to the basement kitchen in it.
Oh, Jimmy, no, she didn't. Cook must have been furious.
Well, she was. Opened the hatch and got the fright of her life. But poor Andrea, I say.
Sure, Cook's no oil painting up close.
I wonder if George will be taking Marilyn to the Herman fight.
Who?
Miller. Marilyn Miller. Actress. I heard at Walter's party George is often seen out with her. Or it might have been one of his other girls. I honestly can't recall.
I'm sure whoever he takes will have a wonderful time. George is terrific company.
A true artist, I'd say. And he sure creates an atmosphere wherever he is. There. Done. You look.
As if I've aged significantly since we first started trying to put this necklace on.
Radiant. Say, before I sail for Hamburg tomorrow, I wanted to give you this.
A poem?
Or a song. I'm writing booklets and articles all the time. I thought I'd go back to my first passion. I'm not saying it's exact, not yet.
Up among...
The words, you see, they should fit that melody. That you've been playing about with for weeks now.
So up among the chimney pots, my lover and...
I was thinking of that time when we were first married. Remember we climbed up onto the roof of my father's house? We straddled those chimneys. The stars were in their heaven, and I said to you...
This is the life, my wonderful wife, that...
Oh, no, no, don't cry.
No, no, it's... I'm happy is all. You always wanted to be a poet back then.
Always wanted you to be my wife. I still do.
Is there... Are there more words?
I go to sleep. I go to work humming your music. Of course there's more.
Well, I'm wondering if we might be naughty and skip Mr. Chagall's exhibition tonight.
You want to go to the Herman fight? To the bedroom?
To the piano!
Yes!
To try out your... lyrics, Jimmy!
Yes, yes. Now this is what my hands were made for.
No, put me down!
The piano, post-haste.
Careful on the stairs!
Chimney pots, my lover and I settle down right under the sky. No one comes to call, the little swallows fly by. We're free, just he and I. Early each day, he goes away. Life is so dreary without him. But every night, everything's right. When I've got to my lover and I have settled down. Our home is so high, we can reach the stars in the sky. We're free, just he and
George had given you the confidence to create a different kind of music, but it was Jimmy who allowed you to pursue it.
I didn't need his permission.
Well, you needed his
a
words.
Partnership is about...
What is it about, Catherine?
Love. And we had that. Do have that. Perhaps my love for Jimmy, our love, behaves differently right now, but it is love. That will never change.
Yet while you start writing songs with Jimmy, you seemingly do everything else with George.
It began...
I see from my notes...
It began before I realized...
Visits to museums, galleries, dinners at the Biltmore, the Paramount Grill, leaving Chateau Madère on at daybreak.
We were drawn to each other.
You'd made a choice. Dancing at the Savoy until our legs were jello.
Well, it sounds as if you wish you were there.
You imagined the door. Another door to an enchanted land. Of music again. With George, with no obligations. Where you could have everything. Can have everything. You walked right through. And you even took Jimmy with you.
No, I had the chance to make music. And seized it. I went to work as a rehearsal pianist on a Rodgers and Hart show.
George's idea, I presume?
Yes. And, you know, I was flying. I learned so much. Felt a sense of possibility.
And betrayal? Did you feel any sense of that?
I promised myself I'd be the composer of a show within 3 years.
I ask you your feelings, you tell me your plans.
I needed plans, something to hold on to.
Did you consider leaving your husband?
No.
Your three girls?
No.
I was asking you about betrayal.
And I was telling you that I was rehearsing long days. But the nanny looked after the children anyway. Jimmy had his work. George and I were... We were discreet.
At first. And when you came home at night or at dawn... Did you even go to kiss your sleeping children? Your husband? Or were you too preoccupied feeling PH, pure happiness?
Well, of course, in your mouth, the phrase sounds risible. Oh.
Are you still having your nightmare? The endless stares, the phone call?
I'll tell you how I felt when I came home during that time. I didn't feel I was betraying anyone. I was too busy. And I was busy trying to be faithful to myself.
Sun's coming up just behind the park. I like the way you always part your hair to the left.
Oh, yes?
Yeah. Shows your sense of humor.
I like the way your lips taste of cognac.
I didn't drink cognac tonight.
No, but I did. Oh, I have some news. I went to the musicians' union with my papers today.
A swell.
The sourpuss behind the counter said, "Am I registering a Mrs. Catherine Warburg?"
And you said...
No. It's Kay. My name's Miss Kay Swift. Damn it, why are we waiting for a cab, George, when we could still be dancing? You know, let's warm up this old sidewalk.
To the beautiful Connecticut countryside. It's so peaceful. It's so quiet.
Oh, after your 3 months in Europe, I should say so. Leave the bags.
Oh, this bag?
They'll be brought over to the guest cottage.
This bag I need right away. A surprise.
Come on, follow me. We spend the whole summer here.
Look at this place.
And I've told you, the cottage is all yours. Okay, come and have a look. You can work on your new piece. I'll be here to assist, to notate.
To inspire.
And the children can spend time with you. We can swim, we can play tennis. I could teach you to ride the horses.
I want to learn a new thing every day.
I'm sure you've been learning plenty of new things from the ladies in Paris.
Oh, I don't speak French.
Then I expect a visual demonstration.
And what about Jimmy?
He's arriving tomorrow.
Won't he mind me staying?
I'm sure he minds. But do you mind having my husband and family under your heels? Do I mind him disappearing off to Hamburg for months at a time? Here we are. Aren't we all just a tiny bit jealous of each other? Isn't it best for everyone to try and be happy? Why shouldn't we all get what we want? Your summer home. The piano tuner came yesterday.
And you want to know what's in the bag, don't you? Don't answer, I know you do. Imagine Paris, the Champs-Élysées, the Place du Concorde, and in the middle of it all, a figure.
You.
Sauntering.
Strolling, a flaneur.
Flaneuring. Stick in hand. All around him, me, the sounds of the city. The boulevards, the cafes, and...
taxi horns!
The real McCoys. I toured the automobile shops.
How many have you got in here?
Well, I need to try out different notes. Here, look, see, here's what I got on the page so far.
Oh, yes, so the horns go...
an A-flat, that's this one.
Well, it's this melody, so I need...
yeah, you play here, here...
I have it.
Oh, I don't,
You do understand that. You understand this. I already know it's going to be wonderful. What's eating you, George?
Boulanger wouldn't teach me in Paris, you know.
Well, I'm sure she just didn't want to educate the Gershwin sound out of you.
Or she thinks I'm still just a Tin Pan Alley song plugger. And, you know, after the concerto in F premiere over there, Prokofiev could barely hide his disdain.
It's not music he would ever, could ever create.
Copland avoids me like I might infect him with popularity.
Which he secretly craves. George.
Now, I see those words in the newspapers. George Gershwin, American composer, and I think they should probably have question marks. American composer?
Your parents might have arrived from St. Petersburg.
I am a sad Russian sometimes.
Yes, and all the rest of the time, I've seen you eat, drink, flirt, dance. You're definitely American. And so is your music. And you're a composer. And if some of those conservatoire boys or screwy critics can't understand that yet, then fine.
So no question marks?
Well, maybe you and I like question marks. You know, what's the big fuss about fitting in? You're sauntering down the Champs-Élysées, dreaming up music full of the city's madness, beauty, its joy. All with the ears of a stranger. I mean, maybe you are a stranger in New York, too. You hear the world with new ears, George. Are you going to let anyone take that away from you?
Kay is... different.
Different? To all the other women?
To all the other people. And I'm different with her. Suppose I show all my hidden angles.
Oh, your self-doubt.
I'm happy for her to see all my workings. That's why that summer of 28 up in Connecticut turned out to be a golden one. I had a rush of creativity and a rush of...
Well, what word comes to mind? There can be no secrets here, George. I am not intimidated by having the great composer in my consultation room. Moss Hart has reclined just where you are. Lillian Hellman and I got on so famously, I am writing a play with her.
You're not in awe of artists, then?
Or accomplishments. And Cordon Bleu chefs, I am myself trained as one, may keep their recipes secret, but secrets do not help us here. If this process is to work, I will not withhold anything, but neither can you. Hmm? what do you feel right now?
Stuck. Creatively, musically.
Reputationally, and?
And?
Why are you here, George? Why is that memory of Connecticut at the forefront of your mind today?
Well, gee, because it was a moment of great happiness.
When you had a rush of creativity and a rush of emotion, love. Is that the word you couldn't find? Any creative problem has an emotional aspect. No secrets. So?
I guess I'm here because I know Kay has been coming to see you.
Better?
And you already have a good deal of knowledge of the situation.
You are creatively stuck. You are emotionally stuck.
I thought you might help me to more fully understand myself.
Is it all right?
The whole house has gone to sleep. Oh, God, it's like bathing in a pool of stars, isn't it?
Swimming in the moonlight.
With me.
With you, and, you know, I'm sure made the right choice coming to Connecticut this summer. Keep thinking of me, a boy on Hester Street, getting into fights, swiping food. You'd never have believed any of this life. But this could be his!
When my father died, I had to give piano lessons to support my mother and my brother. It's Jimmy's life. He gave me all this. You remember that afternoon when he called you a magpie? He's wrong. You're a cuckoo. And so am I.
Very happy, splendid cuckoos, both. You know the women I met in Paris? You know they're not important.
Well, I'm in no position to lecture anyone on fidelity.
Oh, really? How about in this position? Can you lecture me now?
Oh, in this position, I have something much more fun in mind.
What was that?
What?
The light. Someone at the window of the house.
No, Jimmy's in the city tonight,
sir. There again.
Oh, hell.
I saw two of the children.
Quick, duck down under the water.
What?
Shh, deep breath.
Morning, George. You must be tired, amusing the children. I thought I'd bring you a drink to freshen you up.
Thanks, but I enjoy spending time with them.
Oh, it's the last day of Kay's mother's visit, so they're on their best behavior. I'm sure you must find it a real bore out here in the backcountry, so far from the city.
It's been incredibly productive and happy. And thank you, Jimmy.
Yes, it sure is beautiful here. A lucky life. Children, family, stability. I highly recommend you give it a try.
I'm not sure if I'm made for that.
Sometimes you have to change, George, whether we like it or not. Enjoy your drink.
Dearest, I do wonder what those two could be talking about.
The children, probably, Mother. George has been entertaining the girls with games. Poor thing, he's not a natural with them.
Why don't you like me? I heard him say to April. I've been watching him these past 2 weeks. He so badly wants to be loved.
He is.
Clearly. But I meant in the way of feeling at home.
I think it's sweet that he wants to be part of the family.
How much longer, dear? How much longer is this going to continue?
I really don't want to lecture about...
Little Andrea saw you late last night walking over to the guest house. Asked me about it. You talk about George wanting to be part of the family. You have a family.
It's a glorious day.
It's a scandal. And it doesn't take my second sight to perceive it.
It's much more than you can imagine. It's not tawdry. It's not a passing fancy.
You might at least try being discreet. Instead, I imagine you're the small talk of every party in Manhattan. And your husband.
Jimmy and I are getting along like a house afire.
He's being made to look like a fool.
We're writing songs together, having a riot of a time.
James went against all his family's wishes marrying you. You know he's given you, us, everything we could have wanted.
Not everything.
No one person can.
Didn't Daddy for you? For us? I'm sorry.
We all miss your dear father. Catherine, you have a family, a husband. You can make music, all free from worry. Everything I ever wanted, and wanted for you. And you're gonna risk it all? For what?
A ladies' man. A skirt chaser. That's how you're portrayed in the gossip columns, George. Do you deny it?
Why should I only be allowed to compose in one form, one style? Why should I only be allowed to love in one way with one woman?
You're artistically and emotionally restless.
Does that mean I'm just not temperamentally built to settle down?
What do you think of when I say the word marriage?
I don't have a huge wealth of successful marriages to be inspired by among my friends. Before my father died, my parents shared a kind of life.
They share it with you.
My sister, my brothers, and I were left to ourselves mainly.
Your mother, has she met Catherine? Kay?
My mother is an angel.
That's quite a statement.
But she brings heaven's vengeance on any woman who I show an interest in. She's saving her blessing for a nice Jewish girl. Kay is Protestant, of course, and a free spirit.
And married. Which makes her...
You're asking about marriage? I'll tell you, Gregory. That summer of 28, up in Connecticut, working on American in Paris, Kay was with me day after day, supporting me, helping with counterpoint orchestration, just belief. And her children were around. It was a magical time. Hiding together in the pool, looking at Kay underwater in the moonlight, her smiling at me. The rest of the world felt far away. I think that's the closest I got to seeing how very happy having a family and being married might make me. Listen out for the taxis.
I hear them in my dreams.
One day we'll go to Paris together.
I've already been there with you this summer. In your music.
Thank you.
thought he'd get bored and move on to someone else. I thought she'd tire of not being the only woman in his life. I thought I indulged it all because I thought this obsession, constantly hollowing out our marriage, would pass.
A comforting thought.
As I've said before, I'm here to be analyzed, not patronized.
Of course, Jimmy, but it's a thought that's often, how should we say, misguided. The idea that things will pass, many things don't. They grow and bloom consistently, more vibrantly over time.
George is like a planet, pulling you into his orbit, into the wild adventure he's having.
And you followed.
Catherine followed. I pursued her into that world. I decided...
to become Paul James.
Yes.
Lyricist. That's what it says here on this recording.
Well, I couldn't possibly use my real name. My father wouldn't have countenanced the Warburg banking business being associated with... He didn't approve of Broadway.
But you did? You do?
The bank was what I was born into, but I've always been creative. Written poetry. The artistic set were at our parties every weekend.
So you start writing songs?
As a way of becoming part of Catherine's new life, yes. At first, just a few review songs, but after the summer of 28, when Catherine's mother died, we took to it in earnest.
Yes. I was listening earlier on this record to one of your songs. Music by Catherine, words by you. How do you feel hearing this?
That's enough.
Why did you stop it, Jimmy?
I know the song. I wrote it.
And I find the words very potent, especially if you switch to the man's perspective. Let's see. I thought I'd found the girl of my dreams. Now it seems...
I said I know the words.
This is how the story ends. She's going to turn me down and say...
I said enough! That's how I feel.
They're your words. Were they your private fears, too?
I asked for your help. Day by day, I'm losing my wife. I'm here because you become a friend to the family. My sister suggested these sessions so you could hear my side of the situation. So you can then guide Catherine, get her to see sense.
Catherine and I are making progress.
In my world, we look for results.
And right now, I'm trying to get a clearer picture of life when your relations with your wife were improving. Jimmy, sit back down. Please.
There are wonderful lyrics. It's a wonderful song. That's why I don't want to hear it. We were a team. And we were in love. We were the perfect partnership.
So understandably, you convince yourself George will soon fade from view.
It was a joy to come home to Catherine at that time. Sitting beside my wife at the piano, acting out songs, writing, laughing.
How about this? What can it be? Can this be love?
Somehow, we found each other again at the piano. And when we got the chance to write a full musical for Broadway, well, Kay was unstoppable.
This mystery, can this be love?
I think that's starting to work. I played it to Richard Rogers over the phone. A winner, he says. A winner.
And did you play it to George?
Well, he's busy. He's away in Boston with Ira, working on Girl Crazy. Now, where do we get to on Rich or Poor?
I've got a new chorus here.
Oh, that's quite nifty.
And some new lines for the verse on Sing High, scribbled on the back of some meeting papers. What'd you think?
Oh, P.H. Just P.H.
You had two lives. Like your wife. By day, you were James Warburg on Wall Street.
Dealing with the crash, yes. Overheated markets, working with my father to persuade Washington to save our banking system.
And at night?
I was Paul James, with my wife. Both of us creating a show to save our marriage.
Thank you.
There you are. But the nurse said you were sleeping.
Well, not likely. I've got a show to write. Anyway, look at this beastly cast they put my arm in. No more sleeping for a while.
Four heroics on horses, I hope. Oh.
Can you reach the bell for me and give it a ring?
Ah, yes. I told Morris you're not going to be able to work for a few days.
Nonsense. Now, I think I have something for the new song they need. This tune that's been butterflying around in my head for a while. But I can't get the song straightened out lying flat on my back.
You need rest, so let's just come back to this once you're... Ah, nurse. My wife needs... What was it, honey? A glass of water? Something to eat?
Nurse, I think I spied an upright piano a few corridors down, didn't I? If the piano won't come to the composer, then the composer must go...
Or be pushed by her husband.
To the piano.
Here we are.
So just wheel the bed alongside.
Okay. It's no Steinway, but apparently Jerome Kern was in for gallstones, and it was good enough for him.
Okay. How about this? Here today, gone tomorrow. There you are, proof.
I can do something with that.
You don't need two working arms to play the piano, just 10 fingers. Anyway, you'll see.
I know.
In a few days, I'll be just fine and dandy.
Yeah.
Oh,
you're in pain?
No, that's it. That's the title. This is the new song. Gee, it's all fine and dandy.
Sugar candy.
When I've got you.
I guess I'll go see if anyone has some paper handy.
Handy, that's good. Yes, dandy, candy, handy. What do you think?
I think I may need to write on a bedsheet.
Say, I wonder what happens if we pick up the tempo.
Sugar candy, when I've got you, then I only see the sunny side. Even trouble has its funny side. Even though times get tougher, two won't suffer as much as one. When you're handy, it's fine and dandy, so let's go on as we begun.
How many opening night parties have you hosted for other people, and now we're here at our own?
Oh, this is the most wonderful time of my life.
Yeah, Morris just told me he wants to work on another idea with us.
Another show? What about?
Well, you tell me. How about The Adventures of the First Woman to Write a Hit Broadway Musical?
And the first banker to become a brilliant lyricist.
Oh, it's here. The Times. First edition. Thank you. All right. Let's see what Brooks Atkinson has to say.
Well, come on, Jimmy. We're all on tenters.
I think you better have a look.
Oh, no. One of the best musical comedies New York has seen in many a blue moon. We've got ourselves a hit!
Thank you.
could it be anything other than a triumph?
George!
Congratulations, you two dear friends.
Oh, George, you are here.
What happens next?
I see the way she looks at him as he approaches.
Why didn't you come backstage?
I notice he glances down at two golden bracelets Kay is wearing.
Tonight's not about me.
I've not seen them before, but I suddenly realize he has.
It's all about you!
Because he must have given them to her.
So what did you think? Hmm? Cracking that first number. That was when I felt I had something. Huh? Did you like it? Did you? Tell me!
And I realize it's still all about him.
The Chrysler. The Empire State. The race to the clouds! Sound of riveters, hammering, of steel-framed dreams being forged. Kay, I'm gonna send music soaring into the sky.
Why do you think you stopped composing in 1930?
It's a short hiatus.
Is that what you tell yourself? It's been 4 years.
I was swept up in George's new ideas. The excitement of it all. You know, we'd sit for hours just finding the music in the noise of construction sites.
And the real reason? You had a hit show, Lines Around the Block, Jimmy told me.
Well, did he tell you 6 days after we opened he went to Hamburg? I mean, he had to, family bank business, but he wouldn't...
What?
He wouldn't commit. He said he couldn't commit, didn't want to write another show.
You could have found another lyricist. The city's bursting with them. Instead, you abandoned your talent.
No, I didn't.
It appears that way.
I just put it to different use.
What use? 4 years and counting. Do you want to try again?
People don't think to help those who have all the bravura and seem so sure of life. But I knew what was beneath that.
So the real reason?
George is fragile, sensitive. I saw he was fighting to truly pursue the music most important to him. And I wanted to be part of that, his world. And I knew he needed me. I have the pages ready. Is that a new edition? Should I get my pen?
Oh, no.
It sounds melancholy.
It's nothing, just trying to work through some of the dreariness, you know, top of the mind when you're composing. I'll dig down to the happier stuff soon.
Oh, I never thought of that. Joy lying a layer below sorrow.
That's because your thoughts always turn to joy first, which is why you're good for me. And my music.
So, here are the bars from yesterday. I've added my notes, the harmonies you ended up preferring the most, and I put together possible selections in that pile for the radio broadcast next week. Oh, and the tailor brought over the suits I picked out for you. And the Japanese screens I've chosen for the second floor have arrived. We could look over them later.
Broadway's changed you.
You asked me to redecorate your place. Hey, presto.
You know your own mind more, is what I mean.
I need to keep busy.
Or do I mean even more? Or is it my mind you know better? What am I...
You're thinking you can't wait to apply the Schillinger notes from our counterpoint lesson yesterday.
And how? The other piano over there has been pining for you all afternoon.
Shall we dig for that joy, then? Those were a few marvelous, productive years.
For him?
The Second Rhapsody, Cuban Overture...
Neither of them apparent successes, I recall.
There were more Broadway shows... And new arrangements for his songbook. we'd sit all day after day at his two baby grands. Me on the melody, him working out the harmonies over the top. Me dashing it all down on the stage like a streak.
Here you are, hot off the press. It's published tomorrow.
The songbook!
Yeah, but this first copy is for you. I think you'll be interested in page 2. It's probably the only page that you haven't worked on.
Oh,
read it, read it!
4K.
It's a thank you.
For pity's sake. Center of the page, large, beautiful typeface.
A thank you from one musician, composer to another.
4K. He's dedicated half his life's work to you. It's so public, brazen.
I'm sorry.
It was shown to me after a dinner, which I attended alone. I'm not a sap. I'm the president of a bank. I won't be humiliated.
It's just a dedication.
It's a declaration.
Darling, I wanted to... I would have told you, but you've been in Hamburg half the year. You've only just got back from Washington after 6 weeks.
When the White House calls, have you looked outside? The economy's caving in on us. I'm in Washington because I'm needed there.
And I'm needed here.
By him.
And it sure is nice to feel needed.
You are needed. Here. As a mother. As a wife. But that's never enough for you.
Do you have someone in Washington? I couldn't, you know, I wouldn't blame you.
You know.
If you did.
You know, there's an old French fellow said that the art of taxation is about plucking the goose to get the largest amount of feathers with the least amount of hissing. One might say the same about the art of your infidelity. My God, you've had a lot of feathers out of me over these years.
I'm sorry.
Well, this is me hissing. This is me hissing, Catherine.
Shush, I'm sorry. Shh. Jim.
When did we last hold each other like this?
Don't let me go.
The god-awful thing is the man's a bona fide genius. I can't go for a drink in Washington without hearing his music. It's cast a spell over you. Us.
Fascinating rhythm. And it was after that argument the nightmares began.
Yes. And the pain.
You've got me on the go.
The conflict.
Rising.
Couldn't be contained any longer.
Fascinating rhythm.
I don't know where my talent comes from, Gregory.
So I came to you.
But I work hard to pursue it, protect it.
I'm all a quiver.
I neglected my marriage, Doctor.
But it's never enough.
I accept that.
What a mess you're making.
For me?
But I love my wife.
For anyone else?
The neighbors want to know.
Why is that?
Is it her sense of duty?
I'm torn in two.
Is that all I have left?
Why I'm always shaking.
So what now?
Tell me.
Tell me.
Tell me, Doctor.
Just like a flipper.
What do I do?
Consider your nightmare. I ask you who you want to be. You wanted to be on the telephone. Your husband or your lover. You won't choose. So perhaps it is neither. Perhaps it is your voice on the telephone that you are running to.
Well, and what am I supposed to be running from?
Did you not say to me music is chasing, squalling around you in your dream?
Why would I run from music?
You are trying to escape it and return to listening to yourself. Music has driven you from your family. You have continually used music as a story for yourself to elevate your relationship with a celebrated artist.
Yeah.
And abandon your duties as a wife, as a mother.
That's...
In fact, it is just a cheap affair, Catherine. Thin and desperate.
That's not true.
It is your guilt. Your guilt, which demands you explain it as some grand creative adventure.
Not true.
You know, when a man like George receives a little love as a child, he will never really understand how to accept it as an adult.
Why are you talking about George like that?
Because I speak with him.
Yes, in confidence, I hope.
It's hardly breaking a confidence to know that the only thing George is truly devoted to is his well-publicized talent. And inevitably his mother.
I don't want to know what he told you in private.
You don't want to know that he'll never commit to you?
He didn't say that.
Didn't he? He did. He didn't. He doesn't need to. I surmise it.
What kind of analysis is this?
So I told George your feelings about Jimmy in order that he might feel better about his own reticence.
You told him?
Perhaps my love for Jimmy, our love, behaves differently right now, but it is love. That will never change. You did say that?
Yes, but
And for Jimmy, I felt the same argument would be reassuring.
So why have you... What have you told Jimmy?
Insight into your true feelings. For him. Jimmy needs a reason to remain hopeful, so he'll realize that your marriage will hold firm.
You have heard my most intimate thoughts.
Which it must.
Things no one else knows.
Or do you prefer I tell Jimmy you've confessed to being a serial philanderer?
I can't speak to you about anything ever again. You've been informing on me, maligning me. I mean, maybe all of us, have you? To each other?
You're on a precipice. I'm trying to help you avert a catastrophe.
I came here to you with my distress.
Oh, you came
with
here
my
with
trust.
Your guilt.
And you've made a whip of it to beat me with.
Oh, this anger, this dependence on me that you feel, it's a natural part of the process. Look.
No, get your hands off me.
You ask me, what do I do? You know, you're not torn between two men, as you have convinced yourself you are. You're torn between an idea. An enchanted land of music, of George, of disregard, a fantasy, and your role as a wife, as a mother, as a woman. So what do you do?
I'm going to leave now.
You have to make the real choice between Kay Swift or Catherine Warburton.
No, the real choice I face is how to end this pain. But the choice to end these grotesque weekly autopsies, I make that right now. I start composing again. A ballet. Such a thrill. I sit at my piano in Connecticut, writing music for the show's wedding tableau. Music for a bride. I feel my belly brushing against the keyboard, the notes resonating deep inside. I can sense it. My head and my heart know that familiar strangeness. A life is starting. I am carrying a child made from love, but whose love, I can't be sure. I make music. Let the sounds move around my body like hands touching me. Under the cirques, no good can come from this situation. Except I have a sudden piercing clarity that arrives like a lightning strike. Instant. Frightening. In the city, I go for a discreet surgical number. There is a week where I notice every change in the weather. And then I return to my bride, my ballet, my piano, my thoughts, myself, and to what I know I must do next.
It's sounding just swell.
Well, it's hard for me to hear.
I know they stopped for a moment. Balanchine's just sorting some choreography. I can't get the backstage phone any nearer, though. What you've written is so...
American?
Gloriously, vibrantly.
Well, if you're asked to compose a ballet about the Yale-Harvard football game, so it should be.
How's Reno?
Like a frying pan, and crawling with married people waiting to be unmarried.
How much longer?
Another 3 weeks here, and then I can file. Jimmy and I will be divorced.
You know, Kate Hepburn, Dolly, Oscar Levant, the whole crowd are coming up to Hartford on the train later for opening night.
Well, if I wasn't so red with the heat, I'd be going green with jealousy.
You could have been here. You could have postponed, Reno. A premiere of your first new work in 4 years.
I'm here because this needs resolving, George. George?
I'm holding up the phone. Can you hear?
I said, for me right now, resolving this matters more.
We're playing your ballet, darling. Can you hear?
So you can't do a chorus tap routine in here, but I think it's just terrific.
It's small.
It's intimate.
Well, it's what you get in the city when you're a liberated divorcee. All G for the M, grist
for the mill. Yeah, you think I don't know that one by now? I know everything about you.
Oh, you do, do you?
I know you're running late trying to deliver two songs for the Rockettes at Radio City, so you asked me over here to save you the walk to mine. And I know you're running late because we were up all night looking at the changes on the Porgy score.
Well, I know you're writing an opera that's going to change everything, and so whatever I can do. In fact, I have the notes from the singer's auditions here, but... Oh, God, this really is the shit. I can't get anything in this place at the moment.
What's wrong? Is it the girls? Are you missing your children?
I'm missing a set of audition notes.
No, I miss the children, too. See, you think we'd be good parents? I reckon our baby would be born playing scales and arpeggios.
Don't say that. Don't... Don't joke around about that.
Hey, no. What else do I know? I know your songs are going to be fabulous. I know that you're on cloud 9.5 making music again. I know this blue mood isn't like you, Miss Swift. You upset about Jimmy marrying again so soon?
George.
Yeah, I know another thing. There are two drinks with our names on them at the Stork Club, just like the old days.
I'm tired.
Look like you've seen a ghost.
Not quite. A sudden memory of my mother that summer in Connecticut before she died.
Are you jealous of George?
When we were watching you playing games with the children.
Are you jealous of him, Catherine?
Of his talent?
Jealous of his ability to reach for everything he wants and to take it.
Yes, on all counts. You were content to sit beside my father and play the piano at home. Why shouldn't I want more? Strive for more. Tomorrow's overture is always best, one of yours.
I brought you up to look on the positive side, despite everything we had to go through. Yeah. To always have your disappointment...
adjustments ready, yes, be happy.
Which means adjust, recognizing you can't have it all. Ugh. Not like them.
Oh, you mean like men? Why ever not? What is so scandalous about me wanting more?
Because men can act on their ambitions in ways we can't. And if you think you can have everything you want, then you've learned nothing from me.
And the heat of your disapproval is melting my ice cubes, Mother. I love Jimmy, of course I do.
Of course you do.
But George makes the weather, you know. He changes the seasons. He makes the days turn inside me, around me.
He's lost.
Sometimes, yes. Aren't we all?
I foresaw you marrying Jimmy. Your beloved father told me so.
In a dream, yes.
Dearest, you know how I sense things. I believe on occasion you do too. And I had another premonition. You need to promise me you'll stop this. As you said, George makes the weather. And I've seen a storm coming.
So you're content to open a butchered show on Broadway?
I want to open something. Right now we got a show that's unperformable.
We already took out large sections before we got here to Boston.
Heard Reuben. It's still too long.
You remember the agony of that?
Too long for the audience.
The agony for you,
and
for me?
It's too long for the singers. No cast can perform Porgy as it stands 8 times a week.
The Buzzard Song, gone.
The producers, the director.
Jasbo Brown Blues.
These are people we have to listen to.
I don't have to agree with the people you decide to listen to.
Will you leave that? Gregory Zilborg has become a friend.
No, I'm not going to sit at a piano in a Boston hotel room and help you slash the score to pieces.
You know, for two people who don't like unpleasantness, this feels unpleasant.
Please stop doing that.
You've been with me day and night on this opera. Do you think I truly, truly want to even... contemplate this? You think I want to cut one note?
No, but I think you're giving in to Reuben too easily.
Yeah, because at heart I'm still a song plugger on the alley trying to please whoever's buying.
No, because you said it, you don't like unpleasantness. Look, will you stop that? I tell you why you're going to be bullied into cutting this opera to shreds. Because you'll take the hard road with your art, but the easy road with people. Avoid the hard decisions, even with those closest to you.
The show's going to Broadway, not the Met Opera. There are rules.
What do you care about rules? The show must be right.
The show must go on.
And it must be yours. George, I'm trying to help.
Then can you offer some constructive thoughts? Because your thoughts...
You're getting
after
them.
After all these years, your thoughts are the ones that really matter
You're
to me.
You're getting my thoughts.
Yeah, which is to do nothing.
Which is to fight, yeah? For your music, for this show, for what you want. For whatever it is you want. You want a family? You want a wife? A smart, talented wife? A comfort? George, I'm here. I am here. I'm waiting. You know, I'm waiting to see you fight. Really fight for what's important. And to do it without the guidance of that poisonous Upper East Side Svengali.
Belonging is not necessarily in your nature, George.
Is that why the Herald Tribune called Porgy and Bess halfway opera?
So you don't belong in the opera world?
Only halfway, apparently. And then there's songwriting in Hollywood, but I thought I was done with that.
So maybe you don't belong in that world. Your parents arrived here on the boat with nothing, same way I did after fleeing the Bolsheviks in St. Petersburg. But you think life is supposed to be easy for us?
I've got talent.
People are calling you a genius all the time. Doesn't mean you are one. Life is a struggle. So is belonging.
No, I value our talks, our shared perspective. Things have changed with Kay.
Of course, because she's now free. I mean, free to demand something of you.
Can I marry her?
Do you belong in that world?
We're very happy, splendid cuckoos, both.
Sorry?
It's nothing. It's just something we said years back. Marriage is a grand institution for those who want it.
And do you want it?
I'm crazy about Kay. After all these years, I still am. Can you believe she can play all 559 pages of the Porgy score from memory on her lecture tour? She's a marvel. She's talented. She's sophisticated. She's just PH. That's pure
happiness. Yeah. Yes, I know that one.
And then I want children, but not with a woman who already has a family with another guy. And can I marry a divorcee? I mean, my mother spits at the word. And I'm also... Kay accepts that I'm not entirely faithful.
Is Kay the sine qua non? Is she everything you imagined in a marriage?
Maybe I'm reaching for something impossible.
Well, that's what you do, George, don't you see?
Yes.
If you want to call yourself an artist, if you want to take on these halfway opera philistines, if you want to write the best, better songs than ever...
I want to be true to my talent. That's what I want.
Sometimes there is no hidden meaning. Simply, you cannot marry Kay because you do not want to.
Is that what you think?
Your creativity needs full rein, George. You must follow it wherever it takes you. Dismiss all distractions, because trust me, if you don't continue to seek fulfillment in your music, you will never belong anywhere.
In Porgy and Bess, by fusing the sounds of the spirituals with the operatic, Mr. Gershwin has conjured up a piece of art and a new American opera for our age. And with that conclusion, let me say how happy I am to have traveled here today to speak and play for you, the good people of Philadelphia. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Before we finish, Miss Swift, a question?
Why, yes.
Does Mr. Gershwin himself consider the show to be a success?
He doesn't consider it to be, he knows it to be.
Critics found it vocally uncomfortable, musically unclear. Many of his other shows have run on Broadway far longer.
It took time, and I might say Mr. Gershwin, to entice me to Broadway. Well, I believe in time, Porgy will also entice new audiences to opera.
Are you writing another Broadway show yourself, Miss Swift, or another ballet?
I have this lecture tour, and the Rockettes keeping me plenty busy.
So has your own career taken second place to Mr. Gershwin's?
I think that might be enough questions.
Has George asked you to marry him, Kay?
That is a private matter.
Was it his child or mine?
Jimmy?
Whose child did you choose not to have?
What are you doing here?
Are you even fit to be a mother?
Are you, Kay?
I can't... How can you ask that?
You think our darling children deserve this?
Why would you...
Your betrayal in plain sight.
Jimmy, stop
this. Discarded in favor of your lover.
Was it his child, Kay?
Kay?
His name for you?
No!
Kay?
Does it feel fine?
Kay!
Stop!
Kay!
Does it feel dandy?
Oh, George, I had a horrible...
Gonna be ready?
How long was I asleep?
Got Wagner in just over an hour. Bring your warmest coat.
Good. Yes.
Snow out is heavier than I thought.
You know, I like walking in it. I love how it softens all the sounds around. A beautiful...
Blanket, isn't it?
...thrown over our city. You'll soon be aching for some snow out in Hollywood.
I mean, the place is full of cheats, neurotics, and hustlers.
Swimming pools and sunshine and beautiful starlets.
I'll get used to it.
I know you will.
It's 16 weeks, but they're lining up another picture for Ira and me, and Freddie Astaire is keen, so...
So the Gershwin brothers will be gone a while.
A year, I guess. Mm. I thought we could make... game of it. Our separation.
A game? Are we going to compete for the number of lovers we can take while we're apart?
No. But you could be free to see other people. We both could.
I've never minded, you know. What we have is different to your others.
We'd agree not to write.
That is the game? No letters? Okay, are we ruling out telephone calls?
It's hardly a game, otherwise.
Telegrams, too, then, if we're going to be strict about it.
Incommunicado. Those are the rules of...
Of the game. Right. Yes. I see.
Okay, you all right?
I was just, just a chill. It really is cold. Yes!
Yes?
Yes, I'll play the game. Although, as everyone in the city never tires of telling me, I am a cheat.
It'll give us both time to see. Well, to truly know.
OAFA?
Once and for all.
Yes.
We still know how to get a wiggle on.
10 years of wiggling.
10 years of practice.
Left, George.
Where?
Left stairs, here. It's quicker.
Well, I see a cab at the entrance.
Where?
That's going to be there. Hold tight. That's going to be our cab. We'll tap dance into it.
Like Fred and Ginger.
Yes, positively.
George, watch out for the...
Oh. I didn't catch that.
Oh.
You were going to say watch out for
the... great big pot of snow, yes.
Mr. Gershwin, sir, madam.
Oh, no, please don't worry.
Let me help you both up.
We're fine down here.
We really are. We really are just fine.
I thought I'd found the man of my dreams. Now it seems this is how the story ends.
He's going to turn me down and say, can't we be friends? I thought for once I couldn't go wrong. Not for long. I can see the way this goes. He's going to turn me down and say, can't we be friends? He's going to turn me down and say, can't we be friends?
People how George was doing in California. He was also asking after me, they said. Some wrote that he was enjoying Hollywood. Others weren't so sure.
Kay, listen, everyone adores this week's number, Knockout. Can we get another two choruses?
On my birthday, I wondered if he might break our agreement. Or Christmas.
Kay, Edgar and I are having dinner at Sardi's. Why don't you join us? And bring someone, a new someone.
I heard he was playing about with Charlie Chaplin's girlfriend. To amuse myself, I imagined her as a short woman with a mustache and a bowler hat.
Kay, now listen, how about this? We've got 2 years to create the greatest show on Earth. Will you join us as music director for the New York World's Fair?
Then I heard he wasn't well. Then he was. Then it was confusing. In the spring, he was palling about with Harpo Marx, Schoenberg. He was wanting to know if I was okay, someone said. Then he was ill again. I decided to break the rules. Booked a flight to go out and see him. But then canceled it when I was told he was well. Then he was... Yes?
Hello, Kay.
George! Oh, I picked up the phone 100 times
before. I want to talk to you.
Well, I hung up because I know you're working and we had a deal and you and me, you know, we stick to our... George, I'm so very worried.
Oh, no.
About you, what I've been hearing.
I'll be fine. Doctors think it's something to do with my head. Well, they don't really know, truth be told. Neither do I. Kay.
Are you being properly looked after, you know, by
it's
people...
It's not for me, Kay. It's not for me, being here in Hollywood. The phony glamour and this kind of work. I'm gonna make my money and then get back to real composing. Symphonies. Opera, chamber music. I've hardly started. So, I've got a new game for us. Okay? A new game. In this game, I get well, really well, and come home.
To New York?
To you. To you. This was a mistake, all of this. I made a terrible mistake. So, I'm coming back for both of us. Kay? Kay, you there?
I'm here.
I'm always here. Later, I was sitting at a recital when I suddenly had the strongest feeling, just as my mother used to describe. A horrible surge of fear. Excuse me, please, excuse me, excuse me. I made my way out of the hall and I hurried back to 86th Street. I just knew. Well, I just knew. I ran into my building, saw the elevator was being repaired. The stairs. I had to climb the stairs. In my long leopard skin coat, Cuban heels, slowing me down, and I know there's no time. I need to be as quick as I can up those endless stairs. And there's that feeling. His music in my head, churning, chasing, squalling. Opened my door, my premonition made real. The phone was ringing and ringing, and I just knew. Yes? What came into my mind in that moment was his face. Underwater in the moonlight, hiding with me that night. Happy. Smiling in the dark.
Sure you're eating all right?
Oh, gosh, well, when have you known me not to eat? No, the restaurant on the corner sends me delicious dinners around, so...
You look pale.
That's... Well, I'm not wearing makeup. Iris said he died alone. Of the brain tumor. And that nothing could be done. They thought the operation had been a success, but, I don't think... I mean... Why wasn't he being looked after? You know, I only canceled my flight because I thought that...
You thought he was better?
He died alone. And he needed someone around. He needed someone who could... He could show his workings to. Who he would allow to care for him. Now, please, let me urgently change the subject. How's, I refuse to say her name.
She's... Phyllis is doing fine. The children wanted me to say...
Oh, no, well, it's too much of a jumble for them here. I know, and I've had all this work at Radio City keeping me busy all hours, and I'm not exactly top of the W right now, and... I understand why life is easier for them with you.
Hey, shh. Not now.
I got it wrong, you know. I always thought that story about... Little Andrea going down in the dumb waiter was so funny. But now I think, well, what if what she was really looking for was me?
The girls, they all know you love them. And they wanted me to say to you, the children, that they're sorry. And I am too. About George.
Thank you. I couldn't face attending the memorial concert at Lewison Stadium later that summer. I decided to go to the rehearsal the day before instead. Sat among thousands and thousands of empty seats. The piano, the musicians, everything expectant, waiting.
My condolences.
I thought it was close friends only today.
No, I can't attend tomorrow. I have a week-long symposium starting in Chicago.
I'd forgotten what a small man you are outside in the real world.
You probably think I forced George to go to California. Tore him away from you.
Yeah, and I suspect you told Jimmy I divorced him so George could marry me.
George didn't need my encouragement to do anything. He was just doing what he always did. What was best for himself.
You know, I think my divorce was for myself, too. The pain wasn't the choosing. It was the loving. Two men at the same time.
Now you've lost them both.
Were you jealous? Is that where your cruelty came from?
Jealous? Why would I be jealous of you?
I just imagine a person with such an excess of hate might truly envy someone who is... well, who is struggling with too much love.
Somebody I'm longing to see. I hope that he turns out to be someone to watch over me. I'm a little lamb who's lost in.
I stayed at the piano until late most nights. And what's the point in knowing there's a door to an enchanted land if you're not looking for it? But I wasn't. I couldn't.
Remember, you're just working through the dreariness at the top of a composer's mind. The sorrowful notes. You keep digging down.
I know. I'm looking for the happier stuff.
You'll find it.
I want to. There's so many things I'm going to do. I'll be like a cat, 9 lives. I don't know how I'm going to fit it all in. And so many songs.
Well, you'll know which key to write them in.
Yes. Thank you.
Day's just starting. That golden light's just beginning to creep up over the city.
Suppose we beat the sun to it, George. Should we warm up the old sidewalk one last time?
Gershwin and Miss Swift, written by Andrew McColden, Kay Swift was played by Lydia Leonard, and George Gershwin by Jamie Parker. Jimmy Warburg, Jacob Fortune Lloyd, Gregory Zilborg, Joseph May, and Ellen Swift by Tyra Ward. The music of Kay Swift and George Gershwin was performed by the BBC Concert Orchestra, featuring singer Lucy Ann Daniels and pianist Ben Dawson. The orchestra was conducted by Keith Lockhart. Live sound effects were provided by Alison Craig. The drama was directed by Tracy Neal and recorded in front of a live audience at Alexandra Palace Theatre, London. The producers were Neil Varley and Tracy Neal, with special thanks to Catherine Webber, Aaron Gandy and the Kay Swift Trust. Gershwin and Miss Swift was a BBC Studios audio and BBC Concert Orchestra co-production for Radio 3.
Gershwin and Miss Swift is available to listen to or download on BBC Sounds. Next on Radio 3, with music inspired by rivers, Oliver Arnold presents Ultimate Calm.
Christmas on BBC Radio 3.
Immerse yourself in the Christmas spirit with the BBC Concert Orchestra and the BBC Singers. Join me, Petrop Trelawney, for festive treats by Delius, Tchaikovsky, Irving Berlin and Leroy Anderson, plus many more.
Friday night is music night.
Live from Snape Maltings in Suffolk. To listen, just search Friday night is music night on BBC Sounds.
On the weekend of the winter solstice, Elizabeth Olker will play you music in Unclassified that complements perfectly this time of year. That's at 11.30. At 11, Hannah Peel brings us Night Tracks. But now on Radio 3, it's 10 o'clock.
Hello and welcome to Ultimate Calm with me, Oliver Arnolds. I am a pianist and composer from Iceland, a place surrounded by water and known for its fjords, waterfalls, its rivers. There's something about the ebb and flow of water that can be so relaxing and I find can bring with it so much inspiration. There's a quote I really like from an ancient Greek philosopher, Heraclitus, who said that no man ever steps in the same river twice, for it is not the same river, and he is not the same man. And it is with that in mind that I'd like for us to begin this journey into calm today, with music inspired by rivers, flow, and change, from the likes of Sofia Subaya Vastek, Kamaru, and Ola Yelo. Plus, we'll be transported to the banks of a river that is very special to my guest, Icelandic musician Nanna Bryndís Hilmarsdóttir.